For Wednesday night theme, if you will, we're going to be in Psalm 119 once more. We're going to be going through verses 81 through 88. In this passage tonight, as we go through it, really just hope to give you a heart of encouragement through it. You know, the psalmist, as we get through this, you're going to see he's had a pretty low time in his life. And sometimes in our own lives, we have, you know, a dry period or where we feel like, it's like, you know, I read God's word, but I'm really not, I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it, or just in my life, I feel like I'm oppressed spiritually, physically, you know. I mean, we all work with people, and you know, whether it's our wives working with us at home, husbands, you know, whatever, the idea is through our life, we can endure some persecution, be it spiritual, be it physical. And so as we go through this psalm tonight, really, that's my hope, my desire, is that you walk away with a couple tools in your belt to just remember, I'm not alone. Go ahead and we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll continue. Precious Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, and God, we thank you for the opportunity to come away from the world. God, the opportunity to come and just feast upon your word and the truth that is in it. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, that you would calm my heart and my thoughts, and that, Lord, I would be able to give forth that which you've laid upon my heart. Just thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house and the opportunity to open your precious word and read it tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to read through the whole psalm here. Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88, and then we'll go from there. It says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep thy testimony, keep the testimony of thy mouth. And so just a couple real quick things just to throw out there, just food for thought. You know, the word proud, and in the phrase used in this passage and previous passages, is used five different times. Last week, Brother Girth had read, it said, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me. It says, without cause, but I will meditate on thy precepts. Back in verse 69, it says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. You know, so again, like I was saying, you know, we're going to encounter things in our life and people in our life that are against us. Sometimes the pride is actually coming from within, though. So we really need to take a look at that, right? And the other is the word quicken used in verse 88. It says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. That word quicken is used seven times just in this one chapter. And the idea is, you know, make me alive, revive me, you know. And there's so many things about this one stanza that we could take and run with, you know, for weeks on end. But the idea of being quickened, and especially here, he said, quicken me, Lord, make me alive again. You know, well, in Galatians, we have the word quicken used, and it's in regards to our salvation. You know, before we're saved, we are dead. But God quickens us. He makes us alive. So in this psalm, we know it, because pastors talked about it many times, that, you know, it was written at kind of a low time in the psalmist's life. So far, I don't think we've gone through one stanza yet where the psalmist hasn't talked about the fact that he feels that he's oppressed. He feels that, you know, something has happened against him where he has been wronged. But every time throughout this psalm so far, we see where the psalmist says, but I have trusted in thy precepts. I've trusted in thy statutes. Or we see where the psalmist is begging and pleading for the Lord to protect him, the Lord to help him, the Lord to encourage him, lift him up. You know, I believe that David was the one who had written this psalm. You know, part of that being is that, you know, when we look at David's life, I mean, it was kind of manic, right? I mean, he had some real, real high highs and he had some real low lows. And even as Brother Girth talked about last week, you know, at one point, David's running from his own son. His own son in his army is trying to do him in. I don't know anybody in this room, at least, that's had a family member come after him for their life. So that's nothing really that we could ever relate to. But I could imagine mentally that is pretty, that's a pretty big blow. You know, I mean, to sit there and be like, I got to run from my father-in-law who's trying to stick me to the wall with a spear. You know, he's constantly fearing for his life. He fought against the Philistines, you know. So here we are. We have David, who's to be king. He's running from Saul, but the whole time he's running from Saul, he's fighting with the Philistines and other enemies of the Israelites. You know, just feeling, grasping at straws almost. At least, wise, that's what I get out of this. But the one thing that, again, I come back to is that nearly in every verse in this stanza, David has either written something about trusting in God, or he's asking God to do something for him. You know, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, turn over there real quick. Kind of speaks to this a little bit. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And now we know, just as has been covered many, many times, with that word temptations there, is trials, diversities. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work in you, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And the idea of that short passage right there is the understanding that, you know, as I go through my trials and I go through my struggles and I go through the things in life, God's going to allow those into our life for one reason, and that's to perfect us, to draw us closer to him. Now that said, sometimes there's things that come into our life because of our own doing. You know, I've maybe not been spending time in my Bible. I'm not spending time in my devotions. I'm not spending time with God the way I should. And so he allows some trials to come into our life to refocus us, bring us back around to his word, bring us back around to the idea that it's not all about me. I know I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. Lord, help thou me, please. The other times that those things come into our life is because he wants to refine us. You know, he wants to pull out a little bit of dross, brings us through the fire. The things come to the top that he wants to get rid of, and he scoops them away. So, you know, we can have those trials and temptations that come into our life, but that's the whole reason why James said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into these temptations. Because if we allow God to do the work, good will come out of it. You know, if I could use one word to kind of tie up the this whole stanza of the psalm, you know, as we read it, I mean, it seems pretty desperate. You know, we could say hopelessness, you know, I mean, because we see it in there, right? We could say despair. Because, you know, they've digged a pit for me. They're after me. They're bearing down on me. We could use probably some other descriptors. But the word that I want to pull out of this to encourage you guys tonight is the word faith. Because as we look at it, like I said, there's all these things that are happening to the psalmist. But again, we come back to, he's not hopeless. He's not in despair. He's not going, oh, what's going to happen to me? He's leaning on God. He's trusting in God to help him. If Hebrews 11:1 is, you know, is the faith verse, if you will. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, if you want to come up with, well, what's the definition of faith? There you go. I don't think God could describe it any better. And I know that definitely I cannot. Growing up, a little acrostic that the pastor that I grew up under, he always used the word faith. He'd put F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. Not forsaking all, I trust him, but forsaking all, I trust him. I don't trust in anything else. I trust in him and him alone. Why? Because my flesh is going to fail me. I'm going to fall short. You know, in verse 83 of this psalm, be the first descriptor that we see where David is kind of talking about his strength failing, if you will, feeling hopeless. He says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And the idea is, you know, in those days they would take a leather bottle or leather piece of leather, sew it together and make a bottle, right? And they would use it to hold grape juice, wine, olive oil, water. I mean, it was a versatile bag that they used. But if you didn't keep the liquid in it the whole time, as it's hanging in their tent, it becomes shriveled up. It becomes dry. It becomes brittle. It becomes useless. There's nothing else that you can do with it. Empty. Verse 85, he talks about the fact that the proud had dug pits. So trying to trap them. You know, when you build these traps in the ground, these pits, you dig it out and then you put a light covering over the top of it so it looks like everything else around it, maybe a little bit of dirt on top of it. And so the unknowing person or animal is coming along and they fall in the pit. And they can't get out of that pit without help. They make it that, you know, you're there, you're stuck, there's nothing you can do about it. Again, kind of a helpless situation of your own abilities. And then 87, verse 87, he says, they had almost consumed me upon the earth. Again, seeing that his own strength has failed him. There is nothing he can do. I am done. But in the end of all these verses, again, he says, help me, Lord. You know, in Psalm 42, verse 5 and 11, and Psalm 43, 5, there's a psalm that I think really captures David's heart in this chapter, or in this passage again. And it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Well, I mean, why is he cast down? Why is he disquieted? Because he's realized, I can't do it on my own. You know, and to use a Pastor Humphrey word, he's in the Molly Grubs. He's at the lowest part. But he says, why am I cast down? Because my strength fails. But then he ends that verse, he says, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, I can't do it on my own. My strength's failing me. But I have to come to a point where I realize, again, it's not me. I'm not going to be able to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't know if anybody's ever really tried doing that. You cannot get your feet off of the ground by pulling on them. It just doesn't work. If you think about it, all it does is bring your shoulders down. It brings you lower. But God can lift you up. In Psalm 146, verses 3 and 5, it talks about the fact that, again, not trusting in self and not trusting in others. He says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. I mean, his breath goes out. A man gets put in the dirt. His life is short. In that very day his thoughts perish. But happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord, or whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, again, talking about, you know, how David felt kind of low in this psalm. You see in verse 81, he says, my soul fainteth. And in verse 82, he says, my eyes fail. I mean, those are real descriptive terms that are being brought out. It's not like, I'm having a hard go. He's like, I'm at the end of the rope. I've gotten past the point of sliding to the end. I've already tied a knot at the end. That knot has come out, and I'm like, I'm on the last thread. You know, I'm at the end of the rope. There is no more help, and I have to turn my eyes on God. And that's really where our faith needs to be in, right? You know, God's the only true and faithful one. So why not put our faith and our trust in the one who doesn't fail? You know, Psalm 23, verse 4, talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. In the darkest times of my life, in the worst of everything that's going through, if I'm a child of God, now that's a big if. Right there, if you have never come to the point where you recognize that Jesus Christ is the only way that you can get to God the Father, then he's not with you. And that's really what you need to understand as far as that goes. You know, I can walk through the valley of shadow of death as a child of God because I know he's with me. But have you ever come to that point in your own life where you recognize that I need his salvation? I need his forgiveness. I need him to make me right with God because my sin has separated me. So as we progress through this psalm, we talked about all of these fearful things that, you know, that David describes as we go through this. Verse 81 is the first verse of this passage we see, and we see, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Verse 82, "Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" Not, you know, when are things going to turn around? When's my life going to get easier? But when wilt thou comfort me? So who's he turning to again? He's turning to God. Verse 81, he's turning to his word. Verse 82, he's turning to God saying, when are you going to comfort me? Verse 83, he says, "I do not forget thy statutes." Verse 84, he's asking, when are you going to execute judgment? You know, I'm being wronged, Lord, and I'm getting to the point where I don't think I can handle much more. When are you going to execute judgment? So, I mean, it seems like maybe a little bit like, you know, are you there? But again, he's trusting in God to do the work, and he's not going to execute judgment in his own hands. Verse 85, he says about the fact that they were digging pits, but they're not after thy law. You know, and it was interesting because I was trying to figure, I'm like, I understand the digging pits, but it's not after thy law. And I'm like, where's that coming out? But when you think about it, if I've strayed, God's going to allow things to come into my life to draw me back to him, right? Look at the children of Israel. They turned their back on God how many times? How many times were they oppressed, carried away? And God would, when they repented, God would raise up a judge and aid them and draw them back to him. So, from what I can read and get out of that, that's what that verse is talking about. Verse 86 talks about, "All thy commandments are faithful. They," meaning the people, "persecute me wrongfully, help thou me." Verse 87, he says, "But I forsook not thy precepts." And verse 88, he says, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." And as we look through that, there is only, there's only one verse that really doesn't talk about trusting in God and trusting in his law and precepts or asking God for help. But, I mean, every verse has something to do with turning to God for help, whether it's in his word or whether it's just raising my hands to heaven and saying, "God, I can't do it. I need you to help me." You know, when we place our faith in the one who created and sustains our existence, we can have a peace that comes from him, knowing that he's in control. Thinking about Paul as he's going through his life, he's being persecuted, he's being brought low, he's been stoned, he's been left for dead. Many times they thought he was dead, and so they just left him outside the city. Yet he still went back to witness. He still carried on with what God had given him to do, the command in his life to go and teach and preach. And why was that? Well, you know, his attitude about all of these things, we see in Philippians 1:21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Yeah, I mean, he's like, you know, whatever the trial that gets thrown at me, whatever, I'll go. You ask me to do it, Lord, I will do it. I will be obedient. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So we can sit there and we say, well, you know, all of these things, all these trials that people endured, all of the hardness, all of the persecution, how can we say that that's good? The trying of our faith bringeth forth patience. It's going to draw us closer to Him. It's going to help us to understand that I am feeble. I am weak. I can't do it on my own, and I need His help. There's not a promise that we're going to be able to walk through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and nothing's ever going to happen to us. But God was there with him, right? And God carried them through it. It could be like Stephen, where he dies because he's stoned. But where was his heart in the whole matter? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." God is going to give you the grace and the strength to make it through each one of those trials. You know, he promises that he's not going to put more upon us than we can handle. I know a lot of times in my own life, I'm like, oh, I'm already at the peak. The edge of the envelope is really over here, but I'm good right here. I don't stretch me anymore, God. This hurts. I'm uncomfortable. I kind of think about that every time Pastor asks, "Hey, you mind covering a service for me?" Well, God laid it upon your heart, so I'm, you know. But the idea is, we're creatures of comfort. We don't want to be pushed past our comfort zone. But God's desire is to refine us and make us more like Him. So all of that said, how? Right? How am I going to get through this? How do I do this? It's all, you know, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Brother Legend. I see that, you know, he says that, you know, he's in a dire strait, but my hope is in thy word. But how? Sometimes I think in my own life that's where the failure comes in. I just say, "Well, you know, yeah, how do you do that?" Because we're really good, again, when I'm in my own comfort zone, when I'm in something I know, I can do it easily. I can trust in it. But when I'm stretched and I'm uncomfortable, sometimes I might forget. There's a word that gets used in athletics. I've heard it used in the police force: muscle memory. You do a certain thing over and over and over and over and over and over. And then when you get tired of doing it, you do it over and over. You just keep doing it until your body recognizes, when this happens to me, this is how I need to respond. You know, I know Doug was in wrestling. He could probably speak to this a whole lot better than me. But you wrestle and you wrestle and you wrestle and you wrestle and you wrestle. And then you do a lot of running, and then you wrestle. But the point being is that you get put into a situation, and you have to know how to get out of that situation. Same with police force. They will go and run, and then they'll go and have to shoot at a target. So you're sitting there, you can't catch it. So you got to figure out, okay, I got to calm my breath down so I can get on target and I can hit. The same goes with this. If I'm not in this, if I don't know this, before I get in a situation, what's going to happen? I'm going to flounder. I'm going to struggle. I mean, and that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ here that we, hey, I'm going through a hard time. Can you help me? And they can say, well, let's go to God's Word and see what He has to say about it. Praise the Lord for that. But we also need to be able to feed ourselves. Right? So the how. How do I accomplish this? And how can I have this strength when I feel my strength is gone? Well, one, by knowing His Word and His promises. And two, through prayer and having a correct attitude about what He's allowing to come through our lives. Psalm 119:11, Psalm 119:101, and Psalm 119:105 are all verses that apply to the first part of this, by knowing His Word and His promises. 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. So, in that, when I've put God's word in my heart, and I learned that I can trust in Him because what I have read and studied and memorized in His word is keeping me from sinning against Him, right? And so that can talk about, you know, the sins that come in our daily life. But if I come to the point where I doubt Him, if I come to the point where I feel that, God, why have You failed me? Is that not sin? Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep Thy word. In verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. You know, as pastors been mentioning time and time and time again as we've been going through this psalm, he says, I'm trusting in Thy word, Thy precepts, Thy statutes, Thy testimony, and so on. And really, it comes down to the point, if I'm not in God's word, I'm not meditating on it, as Brother Girth talked about last week, you know, I take it, I look at it, I break it down, I look at it some more, try to apply it to my life, read it again, come back, try to reapply it. If I'm not constantly in God's word, trying to find out how what I've read applies to my life for the day, or maybe my brother or sister's life. I don't know what someone else is going through. How do I take what I have read and apply it to my life? That is what's going to help you. That muscle memory. Right? The more that I put it in here, the easier it starts to stick. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but memorizing a verse is really, really hard. You know, some people, they can read it once or twice, but oh yeah, I got it. You know me, I'm like, I'll read that every day for the next 3 months, and most of it'll stick. I can tell you basically what it means. But the idea is, like I said, muscle memory, the more that I take it and apply it to my life, the more that I use it, the more that I break it down, the more that I study it. You know, whether it's just taking one word and looking throughout the whole Bible of what that word means. What's it mean in the Greek? What's it mean in the Hebrew? Sometimes, does it really make a difference? Well, when we talk about power, we have exousial power with explosion, right? And we have authority power. Those are two different types of power. The second way, the second thing, how do I find that strength when I feel all that strength is gone? Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's what Philippians 4:6 is. I'm at a point I just can't go anymore. How am I going to do it? I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to say, God, I need it. I need your help. I need you to take me and lift me by the hand and get me out of this pit. Get me out of the molly grubs. Lift me up. Remind me that you are faithful. Remind me that it isn't of myself. And that it is all about you. So I don't know where you guys are, who this was for other than myself. Because, it's funny. I kind of talked with Pastor before this even came up. I was like, just kind of been a little down lately. Feeling a little dry. Not feeling like I'm getting things out of the Word. And then, this stanza of Psalm 119 comes along, and even as Caleb and I were talking, he's like, well, that's not a coincidence, is it? There is no coincidences with God. It really is true. They're divine appointments. Any time that we get into His Word, it's an opportunity to learn. But there's a lot of times when we're learning something, it's either for something that we're getting ready to go into, or it's to give us strength to get out of something that we're in. So I'm going to read a song, and then we'll close in prayer. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you alone. Don't wait until you're in the thick of it to try and find hope in God's Word. Get in it daily. Study it. Read it. Meditate on it. When you have a relationship with someone, it's a whole lot easier to talk to them about the personal things of life, right? I mean, if you don't have a personal relationship with someone, and you got some things that are really close, and it's like, you know, I mean, I don't want to talk about my weaknesses to some guy I just met on the street. When you have a relationship with God, it's so easy. It's so easy to just go to Him in prayer. Lord, I can't. God, I need You to lift me up. And really, I think that's why David had so many highs in his life as you read the Psalms. Because most times, even when things got bad, his focus was still on God. God, drag me out of this. Get me to higher ground. Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, we just thank You again for Your love, Your care, Your concern for us. God, thank You for the faithfulness of Your word. You know, when You try to, words can't even really describe how true You are. We can say You're faithful, but Lord, You're the picture of faithful. You know, as David said, You're my rock, my mighty high tower, my shelter in a time of need. God, I just pray that those here tonight that are a child of God just have some encouragement, Lord, and know that they can go to Your word and trust in You and know that You do care for them. You promise us in Your word. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.